Sports Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us. Hour number two is now underway. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We got a bunch of texts to get to here in just a moment. Coming up on the program, about 30 minutes from now, April Marie Fogel will make time for us. At 11 o'clock, y'all, we're here from State Senator Chris Elliott. And then Gary Palmer, Congressman from the 6th Congressional District here in Alabama, will be joining us. So make sure you stick around for that. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. We'll get to some of these texts here. We got a bunch. Be dark. They'll just flip it the other way around and get the folks out. But that's Alabama Engineering talking about the bridges down at the beach. But they do that. They do the counterflow. But, and that's fine. It still is that new bridge. Like, it's just kind of the bridge all by itself on the south side of it, Gulf State Park. Can't build a road through that. And on the north side of the bridge is the Gulf Shores Airport. Can't build a road through there. So it's just an out of the way inconvenient. Under normal circumstances, it would be fine. But that's just not how this works. Matt writes, Jeff, y'all have fun in Atlanta. It will be hot. Well, so he's, my oldest is out of summer camp. They're off today. The two youngest are in daycare and just needed to get him out of the house. He's wandering into the studio here, the Fairhope Bureau. And if you heard the last hour, was like, you know, daddy, daddy. And he's like pushing buttons. Typically we have a rule about coming in during a radio show, but, apparently it was not, remembered or observed. So, got to get him out of the house and, give us some space, but we'll be back tomorrow night we'll be back Saturday night for fireworks here by the bay. But, we're just going to make a quick trip over and, let him run out some energy at a baseball game. Might go to, a place I have not been in decades. Six Flags. Oh, he's too short to ride the cool rides. The Mind Bender, the Great American Scream Machine. But it'll be cool just to kind of go see these places and how they've changed over the years. We might do that. Just depends on how hot it is. Name texture. Before the new bridge was built, the residents of Gulf Shores had to go that way to the Wharf Bridge. Looked like the residents of Gulf Shores now have an advantage going south. Going south, yes. Going north, not really. And I would assume if you live to Gulf Shores, you're just going all across the 59 Bridge. Why would you drive all the way to the Wharf? You got the Orange Beach Bridge and you got the Gulf Shores Bridge. Then you have the in-between bridge. All I know is this. Neither mayor is particularly enamored with this traffic flow. It's how they do government. Okay, we're going to put a bridge here, whether you like it or not. Huh? Well, it's not the bridge you want. It's not the bridge. Well, why are we doing this? Don't worry, we're going to do it. They build it. I don't know if the state's paid for it yet. The paid the bridge builder, but it's there. Well, how do we make it work? And then they kind of force it. I mean, that's such a government centric view. Well, we'll just make people drive out of their way to use the bridge. Brilliant. So the hope is just tuning in. We're talking about it. When you get a new ALDOT director, and who knows how much this will cost? It won't be cheap just to set it right. We'll have Senator Elliott on to talk about that in the top of the 11 o'clock hour now. Mike, why does Bruce Pearl find himself so important that he's given JD ultimatums over who he associates with? The Zionists like Pearl aren't happy with support of Israel. You must disavow others as well. I mean, I know, like, Tucker says controversial things, but there is clearly this, like, campaign against him. I don't know where it comes from. It's organized, very well organized. I know he's criticized Donald Trump. Still has a big following. But my observation on this, criticizing for what he says, but a lot of this is just straight up AstroTurf, guys. Paid influencers. And I like try to keep an open mind and like watch Ben Shapiro talk about the things he's done. And, you know, I'm not crazy about giving Nick Fuentes airtime. I would never have him on my show. But it's why Tucker's different. But he's way more successful at this than I am. But they, you know, it became this thing that, like, if you just left Tucker Carlson alone, is he really a thing here? Is he really influencing public policy that much? Because clearly not. You've had the most aggressive posturing, the most aggressive response to the Iranian regime in my lifetime with Donald Trump. And that's saying something because we had George W. Bush as president with Dick Cheney there as vice president. Yet there's this just copious amount of energy used to deride Tucker Carlson as if he's a part of something that is a threat here. I don't get it. And it just comes off like it's too well organized. The talking points are too similar. It looks like something the Democrats would do. That, like, we had a meeting here and somebody wrote some checks and said, hey, we got to get this guy. We got to marginalize this guy. And they've been successful. But I found that comment from Coach Pearl interesting enough to, like, he's speaking to Jewish Insider and he's like, they're asking about 2028. And it's what he said. He said, if J.D. Vance wants my support, he needs to sever his ties with Tucker Carlson. Not that Bruce Pearl's going to bring in a lot of votes for J.D. Vance, but there's more behind the scenes, I feel like, here. Sure, I mean, the Bill Kristols and those people are going to criticize Tucker Carlson no matter what. He's not on Fox anymore. He says a lot of things, and it's like the test market here for me is like Adele Jackson, who just watches the clips that they provide him. He's never watched Tucker Carlson's podcast, and he's convinced that Tucker Carlson's this raging anti-Semite. And if you watch it in its full context, that's just not true. It's not true at all. I worked for him for 3 years. Still talked to him on occasion. Never got that vibe. But because he's taken this position that's very, very critical of Israel, that he's become a target. They're manipulating the media. I mean, we have a free country, freedom of speech. You could do that. But I know this game and I see how it's played. And you can tell, but it's having some success. That the other thing is, like, the internet isn't real life. So a lot of this is sort of relegated to, like, the internet. Most people don't care about what Tucker Carlson says on his podcast, if they even care about Israel or any of that at all. But think about Tucker is he just doesn't read that stuff. He's blissfully unaware of a lot of this. But the Bruce Pearl thing was just, I thought interesting, and that's why I posted it on 1819 News, 1819news.com. Because Bruce Pearl, we're elevating in Alabama Republican Party politics. You heard Chairman Stenning yesterday on the show that the summer dinner later this month, Bruce Pearl's going to be a part of it. So if we're elevating these guys, and could they run for office? Absolutely. So I find that to be, newsworthy. I don't think J.D. Vance is like, man, what do I got to do to win Bruce Pearl over? But that was sort of one of the stipulations there to get his support. Ultra Runner, you've got to put your boy on air, along with formerly non-controversial actions like flying our flag, having kids on now as conservative as tell. How many libs do you know that have two or more kids? Isn't that a long-term problem for them? Well, and that, and, you know, they can be very anti-child, pro-abortion. We'll see if we can wrangle Benjamin up here. I don't know if I got time today. Probably should have done it in this segment, so, because we got the 11 segment booked, and then 11:30 we had a guest. But there will be other opportunities throughout the summer, I promise you, if we don't make it happen today. Peacock is making sun tea. Always a summertime tradition. Jason, good morning, Jeff. I think the popularity of DSA is driven by the followers we see latch on to the current trend, whether it's Ukraine, BLM. You're right, though. And a big portion are just anti-Trump loons. And then, Democrats made their own bid here, Jason. This is like the main point. They create these fires. They start their own fires. They're like arsonists. And when the fire burns in a way that threatens them, then they cry wolf. But they did this to themselves. They stirred these emotions. There was never like a reasonable approach. It was just like win at all cost, and you keep winning at all costs. You keep pressing the button. You keep turning that volume up. Well, this is what happens. The public, our Democrat voters who are responding to this, react in the most radical way possible, and they nominate socialists to represent them on the Democratic ticket. Squirrel Marine, we remember the 1986 Independence Day because it was largely related to the anniversary of Statue of Liberty. I remember watching TV with the ships in New York Harbor. Statue had been renovated ahead of it, which was on the news and in movies during the 1985 showing scaffolding all over. Yeah, that's what I remember. Maybe that's why, the renovation of the Statue of Liberty, the anniversary of it. I remember the Statue of Liberty was a big deal. So will we celebrate that in 10 years? Y'all are still listening to the show by then? But that sticks out in my mind. A lot here from Dave. I asked AI another question. Who was the only Israeli commando carrier during the raid on the Entebbe Airport? Entebbe Airport. Lieutenant Colonel Yadi Netanyahu was the only Israeli commando killed during the rescue mission. July 4, 1976, he was commander of the elite special force unit. Bibi's older brother, Yadi, really is Fredo. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 1065.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. And know when to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. You're just trying to say it's a waste of money. Yeah, I think the bridge was just an ill-conceived waste of money, but be dark. But they wanted to build a bridge, and there's a lot of there's a lot of tax revenue generated, not necessarily down at the beach, but going to and from the beach. Tyler says, don't ride the Scream Machine. It gave me chronic back problems. I haven't ridden the Scream. Well, the problem is that our five-year-old's too short to ride most of those quote-unquote thrill rides at the Six Flags over Georgia. It's more, we're going to be more on the kiddie rides, I'm afraid, if we go. Just the heat might be too much, and who wants to go wander around? We go to Atlanta a lot. Braves won last night, assuming they turn it around. Probably up until football season, it'll be a place. Avoid Six Flags this time of year, man. Go to the aquarium. It's at least half a day of fun. We went last 2 years ago to the Georgia Aquarium. I mean, I don't know. Did the dolphins. It's fine. It's just, how many fish can you look at? Keith, I don't know if you look at Tucker's followers since he started this last escapade he's been on. I think Tucker and Candace Owens have lost their way for clicks. Just my opinion. Hope you and your family have the greatest 4th of July ever. I feel like you're a part of my family, and I wish you safety on your trip. And thank you for that, by the way. But I'm just telling you, like, Tucker certainly changed his worldview. I remember Neocon Tucker. Guys, like, he was on CNN on Crossfire. He was a CNN Republican. He was an MSNBC Republican for a short-lived season. He and Willie Geist hosted an afternoon show. He was having Rachel Maddow on that program before she even had a show. And then when I first got to know him, 2010... he was filling in some on Fox and Friends on the weekends and then permanently on the weekends. And then ultimately they moved him to prime time. There's been a lot of like movement there. You remember for a while, Megyn Kelly had a show. The long running O'Reilly Factor ended. Greta Van Susteren, she just up and quit her show. So for years, it was Greta, Hannity, or if you're really old school, Hannity and Combs. And then On the Record with Greta. And then Megyn Kelly gets the show. She's the hottest thing on Fox. That ends. Miss Shepherd Smith. I don't miss his politics, but... when Tucker got that show, it was like, I mean, it was unlike anything. But here's the secret about Fox. And like Tucker Carlson made the most of his time on Fox. And he got really big numbers. But O'Reilly had big numbers too. And what they figured out at Fox News was like, well, we could put anything in that time slot. It's going to do well. You just have a group of dedicated Fox News viewers. And they're not going to watch whatever's on the Food Channel or whatever, you know, they're going to watch the news and they're going to watch conservative news, and we could put anybody on. And that's sort of why you got Jesse Waters, who's a company guy. He was O'Reilly's producer. And then they started using him a little bit more on air, and now he has his own primetime show. Fire Dog, in 10 years... we will be either fighting the zombie horses created by the COVID-19 vaccine or the Terminators created by AI. Maybe both. I figure I will be Soylent Green by then. I need Texture Tucker's Twitter numbers have fallen, but the podcast and other platforms have been stronger, falling among younger voters. I think he makes ways to keep people on their toes and make money. If he spoke like everyone else, would we be talking about him right now? But he's very talented. It's me. He's very good at it. He's also independently wealthy. I don't know how much of this is just, you know, just Bob Dolan for clicks and money. Maybe it is. But I do think there's a concerted effort AstroTurf effort against him. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. You want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me. Let me know what's on your mind, and we'll proceed from there. Still to come on the program, State Senator Chris Elliott, he'll be with us. And then in the bottom of the hour, we'll hear from Congressman Gary Palmer. Join us now on the line. We do this every Thursday, even though it's we're on the verge of a holiday here. April Marie Fogel joins us. April Marie from 1819 News, by the way. April Marie, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sitting over here writing up some of Hoover and Algop festivities for Independence Day.
Well, that is It's a busy time, I guess. It's kind of a little political, maybe. I don't remember a 4th of July quite this steeped in politics, but it is an election year.
It's really weird the way, there's a lot of left-wing pundits, and they started early, talking about not having things to celebrate. And I'm like, are you looking around you? Are you watching the people from other countries around the world come to the United States and celebrate how great we are? There's some kind of very weird disconnect between the reality of what we're living right now, even with Trump as president, and what the Democrats themselves are seeing.
Yeah. Well, the pro-America thing, I wasn't around 100 years ago during the Great Depression and what came out of that with, the New Deal. And there were people kind of looking at these different, forms of government, fascism, not in a Hitler sense, but just maybe in a Spanish, whatever, our communism, because it was desperate times and people were thinking differently. But on this one, there is, you see some ideologies creeping in that are very anti-American.
Oh, the whole thing yesterday, kind of went down a rabbit hole of looking at, I don't know if you heard the number, but it's 28 really just, Democrat socialists have been elected in their primaries. I think we're looking at seeing a house that's more influenced, than the Tea Party had on the Republicans. These far left are going to have on Hakeem Jeffries.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun to watch. They are going to have a nasty drag-out civil war. They got to.
Well, and that's just it. I feel like we've been watching this and watching them get more and more extreme. We can't define what a woman is. We can't, we can't do very basic things in government. We'll support it if it's going to hurt Trump. And I don't know that goes as a long-term strategy.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was either, but something? We've been at high octane, high anti Trump, high aggressive, everything is on a higher volume now, and they keep trying to ratchet it up. Democrats made this bid. Now they got to lie in it.
Exactly. And they, you look at the crowds. I was saying, first off, all these low turnout voter elections is not helping anyone, because it turns out it's some of the more extreme. But you look at what they think they're going to do. They think they're going to just, fundamentally overnight change the fabric of our nation. And as you said, it'll be interesting to watch it go down.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, and you've been talking about this a little bit, I think we talked about this last week, I'm kind of getting a little irritated by it, but the whole Tuberville residency thing keeps coming up, and we've had John Gray on to talk about it. Have you, And you were at a Republican event last night. I am a little, I guess I'm put off by us just giving any kind of credibility to it by entertaining it and allowing it to have, you know, airtime.
Yeah, I feel like it is one of those things where no one who has been around, you know, Republican Party events, Republican Club events, you know, the chambers, the things where Tuberville has been seen and heard so frequently, no one's taking this seriously. I think it's a ploy by a couple of media outlets to exploit a situation. But other than that, you know, and I feel like the party did it. A great service to both the party itself and to Tuberville by letting this madness continue the way that it did. Yeah. And acting as if they had to be neutral when they had.
You don't have to be neutral, right?
Absolutely not. You do not have to entertain crazy ideas as if they could plausibly be right. And I think that's really where they went wrong.
They went wrong. And I guess they're going to change the rules. They got to. But there's no expectation for the Alabama Republican Party to play impartial juror here. It's a political. Their goal is to get Republicans elected and defeat Democrats, which is not a lot of that. I mean, granted, but don't give them a lane here. I don't think Kim McFeeters, like he's not a serious actor here.
No, and he never was. From early on in his campaign, he acted as if it was a joke. I mean, from the press releases about his bicycle spills and his this, that, and the other. You treat somebody, and I tell my children this all the time, if you want to be taken seriously, then you take what you're doing seriously. And McFeeters never took his race seriously. It was always about Tuberville's residency. It was always about trying to get attention, basically attention seeking. And he has been rewarded by the Alabama Republican Party as if he were serious. And he's not. Never was.
No, and it's not like he's a guy who's ran for a bunch of offices and won. You know, like, I know Tuberville came in, but Tuberville's a football coach. He had a public profile. I just, like, as a serious candidate, you gotta show me a little bit more. And there was no seriousness to that. It just sounded like a good idea. Hey, I want to be a U.S. senator and run on Bilderberg conspiracies or something.
It was very bizarre. Even when towards the end, people within his own timeline started saying, well, what are you going to do? His air quotes platforms were somewhat written as a joke. So again, you treat somebody with the seriousness they're giving something. Al got treated this like a real issue. It never has been, never was, and shouldn't have been. And that's coming back to haunt them now because they treated it as if it could be real. Now, several media outlets act like they have the ability to treat it as if it's real.
Yeah, well, that's just it. There's a lot of wish casting in media outlets wanting it to be real and serious. And these are legitimate, normal people. They're not. They have credibility issues. And, you know, you could just interact with them and understand that. But we don't get that side of the story.
Yeah. And that's just it is the people who are and this is a real disservice. I had a whole conversation yesterday about, you know, just looking at the front page of AL.com. If you are siloed and that's the only place you're getting your media coverage and news, you're going to think things are a big deal that aren't. You're going to have things all sorts of taken out of context. It's somewhat become a joke. I know in South Alabama, you guys got an outlet like that, too, where things are taken more seriously than they should be. I think that this is another example of why independent journalism is needed.
Joined by April Marie Fogle. She's my colleague at 1819 News, 1819news.com. Here's kind of an unserious question. What does America 250 look like at the Fogle household?
we're gearing up. We've got our sparklers ready. We always match red, white, and blue for our festivities. So we'll do that and watch the fireworks on Saturday. The kids attempted to go out to Hoover last night to break that Guinness World Record, but it was storming so bad and they got stuck in traffic. They turned around. So we didn't start early. I'm starting a little early. I got to go to the Algarve event. Rain or shine, they were still out there cooking. Ernie Yarbrough was out there doing a crawfish broil, and they had a good time. So it started for me. Kids are going to be a day or two behind.
I'd done the, I've been to an Ernie Yarborough crawfish boil. You did one during the session. I guess that's his jam. But the, like I said, it's a weird political 250, but I was wondering this, and you have young children. You weren't alive during the bicentennial. I was 4 months old. I remember the 210th birthday. That's because they had done a lot. It was the anniversary of the Statue of Liberty, and they'd done a lot of work to it. What do you think our kids will remember about this this occasion?
You know, it's funny to say that, because I was really wondering, there has been a movement to get kids involved reading American history. I printed out some things from, I believe it was PragerU, for them. I think it is what you make of it, right? Like, my kids are hopefully going to remember that we talked about the country. We talked about what's great about it. We really have followed, you know, the Freddies of the... who've come here. So I think they'll remember that. I don't know, you know, again, if we'll see if the fireworks on the National Mall, if they're entertained by that, but hopefully they remember at least this being a year that that we worked together, their family, to get them to learn some about American history and how great it is. I guess my takeaway is American exceptionalism. I want them to realize that's real. And now we kind of have these people coming up from across the world and cementing the idea that that's real.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm, you know, just like, we tend to remember the good parts too. I don't remember, you know, the politics of back then in 86 and 76, we just had Robert Aderholt talking about it, and the country was divided because of Watergate, which was a weird thing to be divided over. Makes you know, much more serious things, I guess, or maybe they seem serious now and they seem serious back then. But, you know, it's not like something like, oh, well, we're really harping on the politics of the era. But the politics, I think, have just gotten a bigger part of the culture.
They really have, and it's a combination of factors, right? You know, the media has gone out of its way to divide us. They go out of their way with the bad news, and we're seeing that, you know, just here in elections. And I think that there's just a whole sect of our population that are just disgruntled at all times, and seem even more so through this great, you know, Independence Day celebrations. They hate that Trump won. They hate that they have lost control, everything from SCOTUS decisions to, the ball being redone, or the reflecting pool is upsetting them. And I think that says more about them than it ever will us or us as a nation.
Yeah, what's important, what's a priority in the eyes of a child. And, you know, our children will be around for the tricentennial, and how different will that be?
Right. It's a good reminder, looking at 250 through the eyes of a child, what are we fighting for and what are we leaving them? And it doesn't necessarily have to be political. It's just got to be, you know, striving towards making everything from our communities, our state, and our nation better. Yeah. And so I think those of us who are in politics appreciate that.
Because when you put it in that perspective, like, we're talking about ballot challenges and residency. We're talking about, you know, they're not going to really comprehend it. They can read about it, and the accounts will be very probably one-sided on a lot of this stuff when the history books are written. I mean, this is just what the left does. But, you know, this stuff won't be as important. And, you know, like, Trump will probably be cast as a villain in 50 years. But, you know, just like Nixon or whatever for a lot of people. And, but they won't, this won't be on the radar at all.
No, I think that this, people who are living it, who are doing these things, I think it means more to them to try to put it on the radar, but I don't know that it has lasting impact.
No.
When we look back at, you know, Governor Tuberville, no one's going to remember Ken McFeeters.
I mean, like, Kay Ivey, what will people remember about her? And not much.
No, she was relatively tame. You know, you look at some of the, like, I always point to them, but in Florida, DeSantis, you even look at Virginia, and they're terrible Democrat governor now. There are governors who have made names for themselves, and early out the gate, I don't know that Ivy has done that.
Spanberger, she's just a CIA deep state operative, you know.
But, that is the craziest bait and switch. They thought they were going to get someone somewhat moderate, and she had just toned it down for the end of that election.
And then she went full bore as soon as she could, as soon as she got the power. And then, you know, like, but we remember some governors. You know, George Wallace, yes, the thing he did at the schoolhouse door and some of his racist rhetoric, obviously you can't ignore that. But there's so much more to, like, the George Wallace era. And the things that he did, some of it was good, some of it was terrible. And it wasn't, you know, necessarily dealt with race. I mean, he was a Democrat. He was a populist Democrat. You talk about somebody who was like, they try to frame him as a Republican, but like he there was nothing Republican about him.
Well, it's, and again, it's a handful of people kind of get to tell the story of history, and how will we tell Ivy's history? And then looking forward, how do you tell Tuberville's? And I feel like night and day, we can already see a big difference in how those stories will be written and told.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tuberville has a chance to leave a lasting impression. We'll see how that goes. April Murray, folks will find you online. How could they do so?
Best place is 1819 News, and then I will be filling in for Sean on Monday. So tune into Midday Mobile.
All right, April Murray Fogle, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break here. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Horst Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. Need to be in touch with the program. Let us know what's on your mind. Still to come in the next segment, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, and then Gary Palmer, congressman from the 6th Congressional District, will make time for us. I'm going to roll through some of these texts. Time's a little tight here. LV says, going to a concert Thursday in Alfredo, Georgia at the amphitheater. Doobie Brothers in Santana. Lloyd, how about an update? How about an Orange Beach, Tony Kinnon, and CC Moreno update? Hard pass. I can't keep up with that. I don't know what's real and what isn't. And like, it's such a Facebook thing. Killer Bees, the concerted effort against Tucker and Candace tells me they're right. I don't know that they're right. I just don't, there's a lot of what they say that there's a lot of people who don't like it. Ultra Runner, I like Tucker. I just don't recognize him now. He seems like a satellite that has lost his connection to the planet, hurling into outer space. A slight change in trajectory would be held in check by those around him, but isolation has a risk of hurling out of control. Could you help bring him back to Earth? But this is just, he was so plugged in, Ultra Rudder. He lived in Georgetown. His neighbors were the people you see on TV every night or in high ranking in government. He was part of that world. I'd been to his house. Obviously, when he took the Fox show, they were coming around his neighborhood and harassing him. They came into his house. And I think, like, when that was the breaking point, when radical left-wing activists come to your house, when they start, like, interfering with your family, that's what caused him to kind of cut off from the world. He doesn't read it. I'm telling you, he does not read any of this. I think he listens to a little NPR when he's up in Maine in his cabin. There's not really a TV station, but he really is like cut off from a lot of this. And maybe there's something to that. Imagine your rural view if you just read the news, but you didn't really listen to any of the chatter going around. Tim, Jeff, how long do you think it will take Clintons to make the new radical socialist group that they are trying to take over the party start disappearing? Do they have the bite anymore, the Clintons? The system does have a way of keeping these people in check. I mean, the deep state doesn't like these socialist types. It's where I drank my Unnamed Texter says April Marie is going to catch the yard on fire with those fireworks again. Maybe so. It's always a threat. We just got a few texts. Sorry I couldn't get to them all, but I'll try my best later in the program. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers. I've heard